Charlotte and I were talking before services about Paul, and of course, all of us are saddened by the situation, about everything that's going on. We know his health hasn't been well for quite some time. I could say the same thing about my father-in-law. We knew his condition was getting worse and worse and worse, and he's passed away about a year ago. But, you know, Charlotte and I talked, and we said, what would Paul want us to feel? And she immediately said, what? What did she say? Yeah, you're supposed to be psychics. What did she say? Happy. Because we celebrate with him the next phase of his existence, which, Lord willing, is an eternal home in heaven. And all of us are striving for that, because all of us want that peace and that security and that comfort with God. And so it should just remind us all of the importance of being prepared, being ready, because we don't know what lies ahead. And every day is an opportunity to do what's right if you're not doing what's right, or to fix any mistakes that you've made. And those opportunities are blessings that God gives us. Each day is another blessing, another opportunity. And we need to see it that way. We shouldn't presume, especially for you young folks. Never assume you've got tomorrow. Never assume, oh, I'm only 25 years old. I'm going to be around for another 50 years. Should we just presume we're going to be around for another 50 years? Absolutely not. So every day is an important day. Every day we need to always be prepared, because you never know. Let me tell you all a little story. It's a personal one, and I didn't plan on this in this class, but since we're talking about this, I want to bring it up. A little over 10 years ago, and the brethren at Birchwood know about this, and some of you may know, but about a little over 10 years ago, I was in a car accident. And it was, I mean, we're talking a serious car accident. The whole front end of my car was gone. And I was at university for 10 days. 7 days in the ICU and 3 days in a regular room. Broken leg. 5 cracked ribs. I don't know what you call it anymore. Just a damaged forehead where they had to operate. I was on a respirator for a couple of days. They had to perform 2 surgeries. One was on the leg and one was on my head. Now, did I imagine at 41, 42, that I was going to be in a car accident and almost die? The reality is, I should not have survived that accident. If you'd seen the car, you would think the exact same thing. I shouldn't have survived that accident. But I did. I did. And so I live another day, another opportunity to make sure that I'm doing what's right. I'm beyond blessed with the realization that life can disappear just like that. So, for what it's worth, I want you to keep that in mind, that not every day is guaranteed, so we always need to be prepared. Does anyone want to add anything to what I just said? Excuse me. David. So am I. Look, my wife would have been very well off, but sorry, we're still struggling. So I'm glad I'm here too. I am too. Okay, let's get into our class. Oh, and before we do this, Andrew wanted me to share how my week went. And I had an experience yesterday, and I hope you all can feed off of this, and maybe you've had them in the past. I had a moment yesterday, and we've talked about how we handle situations. Taking a moment in that difficult moment to pray. And I failed to do that yesterday, Because I realized I was in a situation at the office. It was a bad day at the office. It wasn't rotten. I've had worse days, but it was a rough day at the office. And I had some communiques with people via text, which just sort of set me off. And then I keep forgetting to do certain things, and I finally realize I have to do it. And at that moment, I go outside to take care of what it is I need to take care of. And it's raining, and now I'm just covered in spots. And I'm just, so you could hear the steam coming out of my ears. This is for you, Andrew, okay? Steam coming out of my ears. And I was just like, I'm fed up with this device. Because this is what provoked the whole thing. And this, right here, the lack of remembrance. I was ready to pitch that thing, get rid of it. I survived, 25 years of my life, 30 years of my life without one. I can survive the remaining however many years. So I came back in that building, and I was just like, ugh! And there was a gal in the office on the corner who poked her head out and said, do you have any idea who this mail's for? It was a bunch of advertising mail from Indeed. It was like a little stack of these things. And I looked through them and said, I'm sorry. I don't know. That interruption in that moment gave me a chance to go from here to here. And I've never met this girl before. Never said hello to her. I never ran into her before. But it was that moment that caused me to go from here to here. Needless to say, I didn't throw my phone. I didn't smash it up against the wall. And I was able to go on with my day. But I did fail to do one thing that we talked about for a couple of weeks. And what was that? Take a moment to pray. Ask for strength. Ask for patience. So you can reprimand me all you want, or you can learn from my mistake. Yes, ma'am. At least what? No, 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 no. She was just a sweet, innocent bystander who helped me. Who helped me go from where I didn't need to be to where I needed to be. And she didn't even know it. Okay, that's my experience, Andrew, if you can hear me. He asked me about it, so I'm going to share it with you. Okay, one point I want to make about what we talked about in the very beginning of this study. I spent a whole class talking about what I'm looking for from you and what you should be expecting from me. I spent the whole class talking about it. One of the things I think we're slacking off on is this. If I turn this thing on, it might work. Okay, there we go. This old man can't hear. That's me in 30 years. Yeah. When you sing, how should you sing? From the lungs or from the diaphragm? The diaphragm. When you're giving a speech, do you breathe from the lungs or the diaphragm? Diaphragm. You get that voice out. So when you all are speaking in class, and I love it, speak up just a little bit louder for me, okay? Because if I can't hear you, I guarantee you Mary Lou can't hear you, and she's not ashamed to say it. Okay? So let's up the octave, up the volume, just a little bit for me, okay? All right. Our meditation question for last week was, what does Jesus think of me? I said it was a pretty heavy question. And it's true. But I want you all to not, as I had mentioned last week, don't beat yourself up over this. It just helps you to think. Okay? Keep in mind, Jesus is always here for you. Always. He's never turned his back on you unless you turn your back on him. He's always here for you. Jesus is always calling us to him. Always, always. And he hears your prayers. So if you have a need, you're struggling with something, When you ask yourself that question, you're concerned about how Jesus views you. Take a moment, reflect on what's wrong, and pray. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. He wants to draw closer to you. He wants you to draw closer to him. Okay? So, does anyone want to make a comment on that question from last week? Yes, Ethan. Are you ready? There's a song we sing, isn't there? Are you ready? Are you ready? It's a good song. Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Memory verse, Romans 5, verse 8. Who's got it? Anne? Well done. Well done. Now, don't raise your hands, but how many of you remember to study your Bible verse and had it memorized? Charlotte likes to brag. Okay. Okay. They're here for a reason. They're here for a reason. If somebody approaches you about something related to that, you can just reference Romans chapter 5, verse 8. He can go to Scripture. He can find it. So many times you've had discussions with people and you think to yourself, where is that verse? Where's that verse? So you might look it up real fast and it pops up. Okay, you have a quick reference to find it, but, you know, 30 years ago you didn't have that. So you had to be ready. You had to know. You had to know. Okay. Next week's, or this week's question for you. Who do I see when I look in the mirror? And let's turn everyone to James chapter 1 for me, please. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Hold on, Tom. Is everyone there? Okay, go ahead, Tom.
Liberty continues in it,
Okay. So, as it relates to this question, I really want to draw your attention to verses 23 and 24. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So, I hope that doesn't describe any of us. You know, that sort of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde type thing. Super, super good in front of the brethren, in front of your spouse, in front of your friends. But then you turn, look away, and you're somebody completely different. And that's, you can't play both sides of the road. You can't stand in the middle of the road, can you? What happens if you stand in the middle of the road? Get squished. So, that's your question. Who do I see when I look in the mirror? And I'm not talking about your beauty or how handsome you are. I'm talking about your spiritual nature, who you are as a Christian. Who do you see yourself as? And when you look away from that mirror, are you always that same person? Are you the same person in here? Are you the same person out there as you are in here? Oh, I should ask that question. Are you the same person in out there as you are in here? Now, I've seen Ann do donuts in the parking lot in Prospect, you know, so I'm just wondering about her. Now, are we the same people? Yep. So, okay, any comments on that? Memory verse, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. And this links directly to what we've been talking about so far this morning. How would you make the connection? Always be, what's that?
Prepared.
Always be prepared. This isn't the end of your life. Well, I mean, you want to have that mindset if something does happen. That I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. Did Paul know when his time was going to come? Did Paul know? He knew it was going to end. Did he know when? No. But he fought the good fight all the time. He kept the faith. He ran the race. So, it should be us. Always being prepared. Always being prepared. Any comments? Okay, let's move on. So, our study has been about the armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. We talked about this last week. We finished up with the sword, which is the word of God. Does anyone want to make any comments regarding this? The author makes more, discusses more about this, goes into more depth, is what we're going to talk about today. Does anyone want to address that? Is everyone wearing the full armor of God? Does everybody have all their pieces on? Point number 4 in our text, and we are on page 21. And I'm going to do some reading out of this text because I thought the author makes some very good points. We're talking about we must train. And we can make this connection with our last class, our last lesson when we're talking about, yes, ma'am. I do not have an extra book. You're going to have to share. Here we go. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Okay. Lisa will have one for you, I promise. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. So, He makes reference to training, and as we talked about in the lesson number two, as an athlete must continue to train in everything that they do. It just doesn't come naturally. You have to work at it. So we must be experienced and skilled in the Word of God. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5 for me, please. Hebrews chapter 5. And verses 12 through 14. Andrew?
For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principle of the oracles of God. And you have come to me milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil.
Okay. I want us all to understand what he is saying here. I will admit, I was verse 12 for a very long time. And I reflect back on the last 30 years of my life, and I think to myself, you know, where's the time gone? And why didn't I devote more time to this or to that or to studying more, to understanding more, to being in a position where I'm not just drinking the milk, I'm eating the food? It talks about it. It is so important as disciples of Christ, as Christians, as followers, as children who are growing in the Word of God, that we must be not only partake of the milk, but also the solid food. We need to be able to mature. We need to be able to grow in our knowledge. And we have to make the effort. And the only way to do that is through what? Sorry? Through God's Word. We must do what? Go ahead, please.
Read and study.
There you go.
Study some more.
That's
study
it.
Study some more and then study some more.
Study some more and study some more and study some more. Study some more. It's a part-time job, folks. Needs to be a part-time job. How do we become experienced and skilled? Turn with me to Psalm chapter 1. Louis, do you have that? Verses 1 through 3?
Yes, sir. Tell me when.
Please.
How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night. It will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither.
Okay, so his delight, and this is us we're talking about, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Day and night. If we are of the counsel of the ungodly, if we are with the sinners, if we are at the seat with the scornful, we're not of Christ. This is who we're not to be. And then verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And that is who we as Christians need to be. And that is how we become experienced and skilled. It's through meditation, through study. The author makes reference to this in under point number 4 in the third paragraph. Where does this training take place? When we read, study, and meditate upon the Word of God, we are developing and training. However, many vulnerable, valuable opportunities to train ourselves in the Word of God are found in the assemblies of the church, Time spent listening to gospel preaching, preparing for and taking part in Bible classes, preparing to teach a class or deliver an invitation, attending gospel meetings, home Bible studies, etc., are all valuable opportunities to learn the Word of God. All of these are opportunities. We know this. We all know this. So do we do it? Do we take advantage of the opportunities? Do we see every opportunity as a blessing? You know, you're going to get up on Sunday morning, Lord willing, and be able to come again. Is that a blessing? Absolutely. Be able to come back again on Sunday night? Absolutely. To be able to come here today and do the same thing? Absolutely. You have to view it that way as a child of God. You have to. He goes on to say in the next paragraph, it takes time to train ourselves in the Word of God. So there are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. The way is a challenge, but nothing great was ever achieved without hard work, study, and commitment. Nothing is ever achieved without hard work, study, and commitment. Nothing. There are no shortcuts. Who believes there's a shortcut in Louisville? I'm convinced after the last 30 years, there are no shortcuts here. There aren't. There's no shortcuts to success in whatever your endeavor is. There are no shortcuts to the answer to that problem. You can't have a math problem and just give an answer. Even if looking at it, you can say, I got it. What's going to happen? You're going to get a little red marking on there. Show your work. Show your work. I got it. I got it many a times in high school. Show your work. Because I could see the answer. Well, why do I have to show my work? Well, because you need to know how you got to that point. Just like studying God's Word, there's no shortcuts. You have to study it to know. I guarantee you that Ethan does not tolerate shortcuts in his class. I guarantee you with his students, he doesn't. Explain this or explain that. Well, no. I know. Absolutely not. There are no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts as Christians. We must follow the path. We must stay on course. We must do the things that we're called to do. Any comments? We must fight. Point number 5. First paragraph. Soldiers are not enlisted, trained, and equipped to sit around and do nothing. Now, you can do a whole lesson on that one line alone, because it's true. We as Christians don't enlist, we don't take the time to study, and we become equipped with the Word of God just to sit down and do nothing. Do you think a soldier goes to boot camp, survives boot camp, becomes an officer or an enlisted person to do nothing? No. There's no difference. It's absolutely no difference. Andrew. Oh, we've got it easy. We've got it very easy compared to what they went through. So he goes on to say, when the order is given, the soldier must be ready to fight. A number of words are used to express the duties of an active soldier of Jesus Christ, which we're going to talk about here for a moment. We're going to go through. And does every soldier find themselves in the front line? Think about a real real organized military in a combat situation is every soldier on the front line? No, of course not. There are those that are capable and are assigned to the front line, but there are those who are still soldiers of Christ who are support, who are there. And we talked about our talents. We talked about using our talents. As soldiers, we use the talents God has given us to use. So every single person here, can't exhaust this enough, has a talent. So do we use that talent? As a soldier of Christ, do we use the talents that God has given us? Maybe you can't speak in public. Maybe you just don't have the confidence to do that. That's fine. There are other ways to fight the good fight. There are other ways to be a soldier for Christ. You don't have to be on the front line all the time. Okay, so 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Eric?
Fight the good fight of faith and take hold of eternal life, or in order to take hold of eternal life, whereby you were also called and made a good confession before many witnesses.
Okay, so fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. We're called to fight. Wrestle. And in this particular text, it does refer to hand-to-hand, but we're not speaking specifically in that sense. So Ephesians chapter 6. Oh, wait. No. Where am I? Yeah, Ephesians 6. I'm sorry. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. And do you have that? Ephesians 6 and verse 12. Yes, ma'am.
That he be not slothful, but fathers of the unruly, through faith and patience, inherit the promises.
Ephesians 6, verse 12. No. Ephesians. I did put Ephesians. I'm going to read it very quickly. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So we don't have a physical fight, we have a spiritual fight. And we wrestle against the rulers of the darkness of the age. And those are the battles that we struggle with every day. We must fight those fights. We must wrestle with them. First Peter chapter 5, please. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verses 6 through 9. David? Resist, resist, resist. How do we resist? We talked about this before. Very quickly, give me some ways to resist.
Quote scripture.
Pray. Sorry?
Turn away from temptation.
How do we do that? We talked about it. Remember? Turn and run. That's right. Turn and run. Sorry?
Talk to your brother.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that. Absolutely.
You have to be willing to stand up.
Need to be willing to stand up. have the confidence to stand up against that. Absolutely. Okay. And finally on this one, endure hardship. Doug, I want you to turn to John 15, verses 18 and 19. I'm going to have you read that in a moment. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3. Who's got that for me? Mary Lou?
Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus.
Okay. Suffer hardship. Mine says endure hardship. It's the way it is. We're expected to. That is just the way it is. When we make that choice, we're not going to be popular. We're not going to be well accepted. But we are living for the truth. We're living for Christ and the hope that lies in our commitment to Him. John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. Doug, you ready? Go ahead.
If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own.
The world hates you. Is everyone okay with that? Some of you sad over that? Andrew?
No, I was thinking that
oh.
I don't know of a time where we're shown that Satan and his forces are tired. That they're not always, they're always at work.
Always at work. Because there's so many tools that he has that in his arsenal. We have one tool. No, I take that back. Let me retract that. We got many tools. The most powerful one, which can defeat everything that Satan represents, is God's word. But we have other tools. We have each other. And that's huge too. The author under that category of endure hardship on page 22. War is not an easy or pleasant task. A soldier of Christ must be prepared to endure the hardship that comes with spiritual warfare. Resisting temptation, overcoming moments of doubt and fear, standing for the truth in an unbelieving world, contend for the faith when error threatens the Lord's church, dealing with the dissension of fellow soldiers. I mean, I like what he says there. One of the things that really stands out for me is overcoming moments of doubt and fear. Have you found yourself in a situation where you're just, I don't know how to handle this, don't know how to handle this. This is fear, uncertainty, doubt. And it's going to happen. But if it does happen, just consider it sort of a learning experience. You know, it's a stumbling block. What do we do when we stumble? Get back up. Doug?
We think of it as being soldiers and being in a battle. Most of us in this room have not been in war. Mm-hmm. We've seen movies. We hear stories. But a lot of times, the stories are these guys are fighting for their lives. I mean, they're over in Iraq, Kuwait, and they get pinned down by whoever. And their training kicks in, no doubt. But those guys are fighting for their lives. They're fighting to get out of there. We don't look at our lives that way.
No, we don't.
We don't look at every day that we're fighting for our lives. You know, Satan is bombarding us with rockets and bullets. We've got all the soldiers around us. We're just firing everything he can at us. And so we just learn to walk down the street like nothing's going on. We have to understand that this is a battle. We are fighting for our lives.
Yeah.
And then we do everything we can to survive this battle.
Anyone else? Who's heard this? God will save me if I do the best that I can do. No one? So, I mean, I've heard this. I'm going to do the best that I can do. What would that suggest? I'm sorry? Okay. Who? Do it on your own. Yep, Andrew.
Makes me think of this bare minimum to get by, or just barely enough to survive.
Okay. Doug, hold on. Charlotte, I'm sorry. Doug. Charlotte?
But it needs to be in alignment with God's word. If it's what I think is best, but not what God wants me to do, then that's not going to save me.
I was waiting for Ron.
We always have to leave room in there for grace, for mercy. We cannot do enough to save ourselves. We're saved by faith. One of the scriptures you had up there earlier was Hebrews 5th chapter, where it talks about the word and so forth. The passage that goes right along with that is 2nd chapter. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. God expects growth, and He expects us to have faith in Him and depend on Him, but let's never leave out grace and mercy.
Anyone else? Eric?
I think what we're getting at here is it requires a lot. You know, it's a change of perception, a change of paradigm, like Doug was talking about. It's going from just kind of whistling down the street to you're in active combat fighting for your life. You know, we see this a little bit in English, but it points out a little bit in the book. The Greek words here are, awful. They're awful. For instance, fight in 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, is agonize. It's agonizomai in Greek. It's agonize. It's you need to agonize in your life. And then, another word, 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, the idea of enduring hardship. That is kakapetho. Kakapetho means feel bad. Feel awful. If you're not pushing yourself by the grace and mercy of God, if you are not striving to enter that narrow way, you're not going to. But by the power and by the grace of God, if we are agonizing in our race, if we are feeling bad because we've actually exerted some effort, then that is the hope that God has given to us, a living hope. But it is something that requires immense, strenuous effort. You're not going to fall backwards into heaven.
Anyone else? I wanted to get done with this today. I'm sorry, everybody. So this is where we'll start next week. Point number 6 in your text. And we might actually go back to that previous statement just as a quick review to next week. Anything else before we're done? Okay, thank you all.